Over 100 years ago, Boar's Head opened its doors with a different set of rules. No cutting corners, no compromises. Exceptional Boar's Head products began to appear. Our deluxe ham, oven gold turkey, and ever roast chicken, made to standards rarely found in the deli business today. Of course, Boar's Head isn't sold everywhere. Only in stores that share our high standards and slice our products fresh at the deli. Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm Samantha Fay.
And I'm Deb Bowen.
And we are delighted to have you here. Our honored guest today is Dave Schrader. He's host of Darkness on the Edge of Town. You can access him at darknessradio.com, and also he's on Stitcher and iTunes. He hosts one of the top-rated, longest-running paranormal radio shows in America. He's also the author of The Other Side, a teen guide to ghost hunting and the paranormal, and he hosts ghost hunting adventures to some of America's most haunted places. He's a frequent speaker at major paranormal expos, and he's interviewed most of the top psychic and paranormal experts in the world. And we are just so excited to have him as his guest. We're going to bring him on in just 1 minute, but first, as you listeners know, we always start the show with just a quick white light meditation, just to kind of bring us all into a peaceful healing circle as we listen to the show for an hour. So if you could just breathe deeply with me, releasing your weekend and your week. I'd love it if you could just picture a beautiful white light shining down around you and picture it just cleaning out any negativity, any fatigue, any stress that's still with you. Just see it washing away like a shower, just washing away. And if you could expand this white light out and see it surrounding each of your family members one at a time. Place the white light around your friends, your pets, your cars, your home. Put it around your place of work. And like a beautiful white blanket, see it wrapping itself around your city, your state, your country, your continent. And if we could all just picture the entire earth and just picture blanking it in a beautiful white light and sending, even just for this one moment, white light and healing energy out to everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Samantha.
You're welcome. So, wonderful. Dave, are you on with us?
Shh, I'm meditating.
Come on back now from the brink.
Oh, no. But the light is so beautiful.
Well, that is very
Dave
relaxing
Schrader, welcome.
Way to start your show. Wow.
We try to get folks focused in and centered and start their week off with some nice white light. We are honored and just delighted that you have joined us this week. The shoe's on the other foot, and you're the interviewee this time, so we are happy you're with us. We have lots of questions for you, Dave.
One of the things we wanted to start with, for those of you who don't know Dave, he has 7 children.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Do you want any of your children to get involved in what you do?
Do you mean in having 7 more children? No, I don't want them to do what I've done. I'm not ready to have that many grandchildren, although I'm in trouble, aren't I? 7 kids, even if they all just have 2, I'm in trouble.
That's right.
you mean being in radio or being in the paranormal?
Being in the paranormal world.
You know, I love my kids, and I'd support whatever they want to do. I don't encourage them to get involved at this stage.
Sure.
My older daughter, who is going to be, well, she just turned 15, she wants to attend a ghost hunt with me, and we're still debating on if we're going to do that. You know, I'm very cautious. I know kids are not always prepared for this. And, you know, she's read my book, and, you know, she's got a better basic having a teacher on hand to go over the stuff with her and understand protection and how to shield yourself when you're going into an investigation and coming out of one. So at least I feel a little bit safer with that. I know my 11-12-year-old son, he's champing at the bit to get out there and ghost hunt with me, and his buddies are begging him to get his dad to take him out. So I'm just, you know, I'll see. We'll work into it slowly. But, you know, it's at this point it's a strange place to be because my little ones know what I do. They know I host a show about ghosts, and they know that I've been on shows about ghosts. And I'm waiting for the big tell-all book to come out that our dad says ghosts aren't real, you know. Because, you know, I give them the story.
The mommy dearest version.
Yeah, when they you know, they'll see me on the shows and they're like, "Daddy, was that a real ghost?" I'm like, "No, honey, this is TV. It's like Scooby-Doo. At the end of the deal, we pulled the guy's mask off and it was just old Mr. Olson." And they're like, "Oh, okay." Because the little ones have very active imaginations, and I don't want them to put that in their mind. And you know what's funny is they really don't have paranormal experiences. They've had a couple, but we've dealt with it, and that's it. So I try to keep them out of the loop as much as I can, and, you know, believing that they're perfectly safe and everything is good and nobody has to worry and Dad does all the hard work, so that's all we have to, you know, concern ourselves with. The older kids know the truth and know that there are things out there that are unseen, and, you know, we deal with that as it comes along.
Now, you talked about protecting yourself before you go into an investigation and on your way out of the investigation, and since we like to teach on this podcast, could you tell us a little bit about what that involves for you?
Yeah, I know. You'd think a guy with seven kids would know nothing about protection, huh? what I do before an investigation is, you know, I just try to center myself. I try to make sure that I'm in a good mind frame before I go in. I really don't do any prayer or protection. I've actually even taken to taking off some of my medallions and things that I used to wear. Because I believe, too, that a lot of things are done on intent. And now if I was a ghost and I see this guy's got a crucifix and a Star of David and a St. Michael's and a St. Benedictine medal on, I might think he may not be ready to talk to me. I'm going to go over and communicate with these people.
I have found the same to be true, Dave.
Yeah, so I figure if I go in open, I'm allowing something to communicate with me, but I never give permission to work through me. And when I talk to people when they do investigations, and I get a lot of people that are like, "You say the Ouija board's bad, but how is the Frank's Box or Shack Hack any better?" Well, my deal is I always say, you know, the Ouija board inherently is not bad. It's a piece of cardboard and plastic, and, you know, there's nothing evil about cardboard or plastic, unless, of course, it's got a Visa or MasterCard logo on it. And I just tell them, you know, it's the intent. And a lot of people go into the Ouija board to spook each other. And I think when they're trying to do it scary and they go in it with scare and fright, that's when they invite negative things in.
I agree.
But the thing
intent
too,
is key.
Right. The thing with the shack hack or radio box or even just doing EVP is I'm not asking the spirits to communicate through me. I'm not doing automatic writing. I'm not channeling. I'm not putting my hands on the planchet and letting them use me to manipulate the planchet around the board. I'm not psychic like you are. I'm not that open to that. I don't know how to communicate or close that. So I don't want to open myself up for things that I can't control at this point. So I'm very cautious about how I investigate, and what the things I say during an investigation are also for protection. You know, it's, you know, if there's somebody here that would like to communicate, you can communicate to me through this machine in my hand. I don't say, you know, feel free to use me, use my energy, because I don't. That's when I hear about attachments and possessions and things like that occurring, and I don't give permission for that. At the end of an investigation, I will often do a prayer at the location, even if it's a big location like Mansfield Reformatory or Eastern State or the Queen Mary, and I just ask for God or the angels to come and help any spirits that are lost and that do want to move on. And I ask that they wash through the ship, you know, or the building, and, you know, help those spirits to find their way. And for the spirits that want to stay here, so be it. And that's just my belief system. And then I ask to, you know, to be protected and surrounded in a thorny hedge of protection and keep my children safe and my family and my home safe from evil influence. And a lot of times I'll read, you know, St. Michael's prayer when I get home to make sure that the house is cleared. And that's basically what I do to kind of keep myself protected. In our book that we wrote, The Other Side, there's actually a whole chapter on protection. And it goes over everything from every belief system we could cover, from, you know, religious to non-religious prayers to, you know, smudging to oils to rocks and stones and gems and things like that. So we try to cover just about every different belief system on how you can go about protecting yourself.
Right, because it's called The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, but it's really a handbook for anyone interested in learning about this, correct?
Yeah, we actually, you know, we wrote the book originally just for, you know, it's based a lot on my talk that I give regarding the paranormal. And Marley Gibson, the teen author, approached me and said, "Hey, I'd like to kind of do an addendum compendium book to my teen novels that I do about ghost hunting. What do you think about writing this?" And I said, "Sure." And at first, it was called Ghost Hunting, The Ins and Outs of Paranormal Investigating. And we were actually threatened by a very well-known paranormal team for saying that you can't use the term ghost hunting. We own that. You know, you're ripping off our book title. So we had it changed to The Other Side, since Hans Holzer had just died, and he had kind of coined that phrase. We called it The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, and directed it more towards teens, since there are no books out there really directed to them. And there's so many questions that the teens and kids have about this as well. But adults and everybody that read it seem to get a lot out of it.
Absolutely. It's a great book. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. How can folks get it? Just tell them a little bit about that.
Well, you can go to Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
And then type in, you know, Dave Schrader underneath books, and it'll pull up for you. Or type in The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, and that should pull it up. You can also find me at any of the live events that we do. I usually have books with me for sale. Or check out Marley Gibson and Patrick Burns. They're usually out at all these different paranormal conferences selling the book as well. And it's only $10. So it's very affordable and easy to read and a lot of fun. And like our show, there's some funny stuff in the book as well. So we try to keep you entertained and not bog you down with too much technical things. You know, we want to give you the idea and understand what you're doing, but, you know, we try to make it entertaining along the way.
Right. Tell us about your next adventure. We won't call it ghost hunting. Your next adventure, it's Mansfield, is that right?
Behind
where we're
bars.
Going next?
Yeah, we're going,
bars,
we're going back. We did a Mansfield event this last year and had a great time with a lot of activity. And we're going back with the guys from the Ghost Adventures TV series. And we're doing that April 14th through the 17th. And just really looking forward to it. We're already half sold out.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah, we
you
just put
sell
it up
out
last
so
Tuesday.
Fast. Your Stanley event is sold out for March already, and now this is almost sold out. Can you tell people what Mansfield is who might not know?
Mansfield Reformatory, also known as the Ohio State Reformatory. It was a prison system and a reformatory for people. They used it in the movie Shawshank Redemption. They've used it in the movie Air Force One. They used it in the Stallone movie Lockup. It's been used in many, many different movies. It's been used on just about every paranormal TV show. And it's a beautiful, gothic, haunting-looking place, and the energy there is very strong, very overwhelming in some spots. And we just had a wonderful time out there. And people that would like to join us, and Zach and Aaron from the Ghost Adventures crew, and Chris Fleming from Psychic Kids, and he's also done the Ghost Adventures Live TV show and has been on Dead Famous and Ghost Hunters. He's all of these different shows he's been a part of. He's a psychic sensitive as well. He'll be out there with us. Mark and Debbie Constantino, the EVP specialists. Jeff Bellinger, one of the most prolific paranormal authors in the field, is going to be with us. And he's also the host of 30-odd Minutes. So we've got a great lineup of speakers, a lot of fun. And you can get all that information at darknessevents.com. And that's darknessevents.com. Yeah.
Okay. Darknessevents.com. Awesome.
Got it. Good. Dave, let me ask you this question while we're on the subject of going to locations and doing research. I know that the jury is sometimes out with lots of different paranormal groups about whether or not to bring a psychic along on those research teams. You got feelings on that?
I do. You know, here's the deal. I think the more you do investigations, the more you actually become more sensitive to things as well. So, you know, I certainly bring one with you if you have a team resident psychic or sensitive. Bring them with you. I just always suggest that the psychic or sensitive kind of keeps quiet to themselves.
You bet.
Takes notes. We don't tell our psychic or sensitive anything about the location because I don't want to taint or what's called front load. I don't want to give you too much information because even the best psychics will tell you, it messes them up because then they begin questioning, are they getting real information or are they imagining what the feeling of this was? So it's very hard. You just got to walk that fine line. But I always tell people, make sure that you're very careful using a psychic on an investigation with not giving them too much information and have them write down. I think that's much more important. Write down what they're feeling and experiencing. And sometimes it's even better to, and I don't know what you guys feel on this, but I think it's almost better to have the team go in and investigate for a while, then bring the psychic or sensitive in. So that you've done a basic workup around the room, and then if the psychic or sensitive tells you, you know, I'm sensing something over here, I think you'll get some good EVP or some good communication over here, you know, helping to direct us is always a great way to go. So
I
know,
work with our team
it.
Here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do some work with our team here, and that's pretty much what happens is I agree to meet them at a given location. Often they've gone in and kind of set up the equipment. I go in and just go through. I don't say a word except hello and make some notes. And then at some points during the night may say, shoot over here or try this area or whatever. And I just make notes, and then I give them a report when we're done. I don't
sure.
say anything about what I'm picking up
no,
while
don't
we're
bring
in the
me
front.
On. Remember that time I went up? I couldn't stop talking.
No, I know. You. Yeah, no, no,
She's
no.
She's crying about her son.
Samantha, hush.
Dave, we have some questions in the chat room that I want to have you address. Olivia is asking if you're going back to Eastern State Penitentiary at any time.
We don't have any plans immediately to return to Eastern State. I love Eastern State. It's a great place, and it's always been fun to go there. But we're trying to actually expand and start to hit some other locations. You know, Eastern State, Waverly, Stanley, Queen Mary, those really have been where I've my staple for the last 4 or 5 years. And now I want to start to expand. So we're starting to look into new locations and hit some places that we haven't done before. So that, first of all, I want to go see all these great locations that they're featuring on the shows, but that way it gives our people that come to multiple events a chance to go out and see something new.
And Edward asked, is there any chance that places like Mansfield are full of this energy because of the history of the building? And also, I will always wonder, do you think that some of these ghosts feel an obligation to stay there? Do you know what I mean? Because all these camera crews are coming through.
Actually, that's a great question. And one of the ghosts at the Queen Mary, and I can never remember his name. I want to say it's like John Henry, who's down. I think he's the young sailor that was crushed by the doors down by the engine room. Peter James, the resident psychic of the Queen Mary for many years, and Erica Frost and a few other sensitives I've been there have all reported the same type thing. They've asked, why haven't you crossed over? Why haven't you gone anywhere? And the answer is, because I'm famous here. Look at all the people that come to see me.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe that there is something to that. I think that that's, you know, I think people like that opportunity to, you know, the spirits want the opportunity to be heard and communicate and play and have fun, you know, so in life, so in death, right? If you were fun and goofy and looking for attention while you were alive, why not continue doing it while, you know, while you're in a ghost form?
You have a fascinating, I know you don't have concrete beliefs on what a ghost is, but you have some mm-hmm. fascinating ideas. Would you mind sharing with our listeners what you've said about how maybe there aren't ghosts, it's just, I don't know what you want to call it, time dimension dipping?
When I started doing this 5 years ago, you know, like most people, I believed that ghosts were just, you know, we die, our spirits walk out of our body, and they decide to stay here on Earth, you know, because they're committed to Earth because they want to watch over their family or they're afraid to move on or whatever. But I believe probably more of the things that we're dealing with is more of an energy form that's not not our dead people. I don't know how else to explain it. I think a lot of the visitations we have are angelic because you know, we see our family or friends come back to us and they give us a warning or they give us some words of encouragement. And that's great. That makes us feel so much better. And and they look young and they look fresh, and and a lot of the people that encounter them say that when they feel or touch that person, they feel a warm vibrational pulsing, and it seems to be well shared. Well, I've also heard that that's the same feeling of people that have encountered angels. And now if, you know, as somebody who sits on the fence post of being a skeptical believer, if suddenly I wake up and there's a glowing image with a halo in my room going, oh, David, don't drive the car on Friday, I'm going to think, wow, I have seriously got to stop doing Twinkies, you know, eating before bedtime because it's affecting my mind. Now, if I open up my eyes and my grandfather's at the end of my bed and says, hey, you know, this Friday is not a good idea to be in your car, or, hey, I know you're going through a rough time, just remember we love you and you'll get through this. Even if I think I dreamed it, it's going to hit me more and I might be a little bit more cautious about it. So I think that sometimes these visitations are an angelic form taking a recognizable form. You know, they did that in the Bible. You know, there were spirits that took the form of somebody recognizable to pass on a message and be more believable. So I think that that's part of it. I also believe that, you know, we might be in areas where just time and space are just thin. That veil, that all-encompassing veil we talk about, just maybe thinner, threadbare in that area. And because of maybe an underground current of water and limestone and things just in the right place, it just makes that template like a plasma screen TV. It just gives it the right template to be seen and experienced there over and over. You know, I've always said I'd love to go in on places that have a residual haunting, which is a haunting that plays over and over like a tape loop. Like we always see Grandma come down the stairs, go into the kitchen, you know, to the counter, grab her teapot and vanish. Well, I'd love to go in there with like a big magnetic degausser, which erases and scrambles magnetic memory and degausses the entire path Grandma takes to see if, in fact, by messing up the magnetic field, does that end a haunting?
Oh, interesting.
Or does it bolster it? Does it give it more energy? So, you know, there's things like that. And I do believe a lot of it is time slip or maybe even alternate dimensions, because that would explain why sometimes we're doing EVP work and we get our voices saying things back to us that we know we didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just one step over in another reality, there's another ruggedly handsome Dave Schrader paranormal radio show host over there doing a ghost hunt in the same area, asking a different set of questions. And he's turning back his recorder and getting the answers that I'm saying as I'm doing this. You know, you might need a hit off the hookah pipe to go through that thought process. But
I know, it's crazy.
But I think there is something more to
it. I love it. I love it. I love that idea.
I do too.
So I think that might have a lot more to do with it. Now, does that mean that I don't believe in ghosts? No, I certainly believe in ghosts. And I do think that there are spirits that do interact with us from time to time. I just don't think that there's a demon behind every door and that there's ghosts in every location. And you know, I think they're memories. And Jeff Belanger, the author and good friend of mine, says it best. He goes, I think ghosts are history's way of making us remember where we came from and remember our life. So to me, that's always kind of stuck with me, and I think that there's something to that, that may be what's going on.
Right. Have you ever watched Unsolved Mysteries in the 80s?
Oh, yeah,
remember
I loved
that
all that stuff. Yeah, Sightings and Unsolved Mysteries and In Search Of, those were my staples. I loved watching all that.
Me too, and there was one Unsolved Mysteries I'll never forget about these librarians in Gettysburg, and they were shutting down the library at the college, and they took the elevator down to the basement, and when the doors opened, there was a complete Civil War hospital going on.
Right.
And the crazy thing is that the soldiers turned and looked at the librarians in the elevator like, oh, my God. It was like they were both seeing each other at the same time.
Right. Time travelers meet, you know, worlds collide. Isn't that great?
Right. And, well, you know, you think about the fact that how many times people see a ghost and the ghost looks as surprised as you are and it turns around and takes off running. Well, A, if it's a ghost, why is it running away from you? Why doesn't it just fade through the wall and vanish? You know, maybe we've had ghost stories told for centuries, right? A millennia of ghost stories that have been around. Maybe the ghosts that we're encountering are our future selves in that time slip, that little moment. And they talk about, oh, back in the 1960s at Waverly Hills, oh, yeah, I think this place is haunted because I rounded the corner and there were three people standing there with cameras and their mouths were open looking at me, and I just turned around and ran like hell. And to her, that was a ghostly experience. Then, you know, flash forward 40 years, and here we are investigating this, and at that exact moment, she rounds the corner, there's the three of us investigating her, and we just happen to cross paths for that brief moment as time and energy align. And that might be what hauntings are. There's a great book. It's called Nevermore. And it's written by a gentleman by the name of, like, William Hjortsberg. It's a very Norwegian or Swedish-like name. But it's a novel, and it's written about Harry Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who are very good friends.
Wonderful.
And, of course, Conan Doyle was the author of Sherlock Holmes. And in the book, the ghost of Edgar Allan Poe keeps appearing to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And Sir Arthur Conan Doyle talks to the ghost about these deaths that are taking place in the guise of his famous novels. Well, to Edgar Allan Poe, the spirit of Conan Doyle is giving him ideas for books, and to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the ghost of Edgar Allan Poe, is appearing to them to help them solve this crime. So it's really an interesting twist on the whole time and space continuum. And it's a marvelous book. I recommend it to anybody.
Okay.
And it's from the early 90s, I believe. It's called Nevermore.
Nevermore. I will buy it. It sounds fun. Lots of fun.
Yep.
Dave, a couple other questions in the chat room that we might want to talk about. Somebody is asking about the notion of vortexes. Vortices, I guess, is the right plural. Any thoughts on that?
With vortexes, you know, I don't know. Again, I'm not sensitive in that way. I can't go in and pick up on an energy like that. Are there certain spots? Well, we just...
Whoops.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we've lost
Hello?
Him.
Are
oh, you're
here.
There.
You
okay, good. Whew, okay, I can. Go ahead.
It said I'm in the host queue. Does that mean we're still on air?
We are on air.
Okay, good. All right, just double checking. We just got done kind of talking about how when time and space maybe comes together at the right place and there's a current of water underneath and limestone or a heavy deposit of minerals, it might be opening up that little rift there. And I think maybe that's what a vortex is. Do I believe that there are just these random gateways to hell or the other world? I don't know. I'd love to find one. I don't know if it's in my closet, like in the movie Poltergeist, you know. And it always seems to be in strange places in people's homes, isn't it? It's always in their bathroom or in a closet. It's, you know, why did we? You would think that the energy would be so strong we'd make that our bedroom and not the closet area when we built the house to begin with, because you would just feel it didn't feel right there. But again, I don't know. I'm not sure how that whole sensitivity thing works.
Okay. All right.
Now you've also been on one of my favorite TV shows, Paranormal State.
Mm-hmm.
You did a great job. I saw you on the UFO one. Did you also guest on another show?
Not of theirs. I did two things
with
Paranormal
State. You've
been
on a lot, though, haven't you?
Well, I was on one episode with them where we took them out to the UFO ranch, and then I did a live an interview that they had posted for a long time on the A&E channel's website. It was me sitting down with them and taking viewer questions. So that was part of it. But that good kids and nice, and I guess they've, from what I read on Ryan Buell's post, he's ending his stint on the show and Paranormal State as we know it is coming to an end. So
do you think that's true?
That's going on. Oh yeah. I think Ryan's probably ready to move on. You know, I don't think this was ever meant for him to be, a lifelong deal. I think he has other pursuits that he wants to get involved in producing and directing and getting involved that way.
Now, you've also been on, like, Ghost Hunters, a lot of other paranormal TV shows, haven't you?
Well, I've worked with the Ghost Hunters, Jason and Grant. We did many events for about 2.5 years together. I was never on any of their episodes. Just friends with them overall. But shows I've been on, Ghost Adventures, I did the live 7-hour ghost hunt they did last year on October 30th at the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. I was one of the hosts, the interactive host on TV, and then I did an episode of Rolling Hills Sanitarium this past season, and then I also show up in a brief moment in the Return to Bobby Mackey's episode. So I've been a part of a couple of their different shows and love those guys. Aaron and Zach and Nick are fantastic. They've been really good friends to the show and friends to us.
What do you like better, TV or radio?
Well, I definitely have a face for radio, I've been told. So radio works well for me. I believe it or not, I do a lot of these live events. I'm painfully shy in person. I kind of put on, Darkness Radio Dave is kind of like a costume I wear. When I'm one-on-one with people, it's very hard for me to talk. I get very shy and feel weird. I like being behind the microphone and looking off into the dark and, maybe just having Mally there or Tim and that's it. I'm not a big speaker guy. As a matter of fact, when we do a lot of our live events and I go up and I do my talk or I do the live auctions, I'll get a lot of compliments on my talk and a lot of compliments on my auctions. I actually had to have them videotaped so I could watch what I do because I would have no memory of them. Once I would go up, I kind of was out of body. I have really no memory of what I did, and I don't know if that's just the personality kicked in and did what it had to do for that time period, but most of our charity auctions that we host at our live events that last about an hour, I have very little memory of until after it's over and I've seen somebody's videotape of it.
Wow.
So
I'm
very
shy when it comes to that. You do work on your radio show for charities. You do the what's the name of the food bank that you're always raising money for?
Oh, yeah, Second Harvest Heartland.
Harvest Heartland.
Second Harvest Heartland, yeah. And people can check that out at the number 2 and then the word harvest.org. And you can always make donations. They're always looking for help. And their buying power is incredible. $100 feeds a family of 4 for a month. So it's good meals, good hot meals, and well-balanced meals as well. I know we did Halloween, we did a special three-hour radio show. We raised $4,000, and that provided over 50,000 meals. So, yeah, I love to give back to the community that we're a part of. You know, when we do our live events, we do live charity auctions at each event where we raise money for, like, Eastern State Penitentiary or Mansfield Reformatory or Ginger's Pet Care, Pet Rescue, I mean, or Shriners Children's Hospitals, the Haven House, the first ever women's battered women's shelter in Los Angeles. So we like to do our work as much as we can to help others.
That's wonderful.
That is absolutely wonderful. I also love the part of your show where you offer people to send in messages for healing, and I just love that, and I'm grateful that you do that work. That's a beautiful part of the work that you do. Dave, we're at the halfway mark for the show, so
sure.
If we could just take a little break here, and we'll talk about who we are and certainly give you an opportunity to talk about how people can access you in lots of different ways. We are the Psychic Teachers. I am Deb Bowen.
I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are honored that you are joining us tonight. There are lots of ways that you can get in touch with me and Samantha, obviously through here at Blog Talk Radio. You can, we'd love it if you became our friend or a follower with us. You can also download shows, archive shows from Blog Talk and from iTunes. Our website is www.psychicteachers.com, and from that website, you can get to my individual website and to Samantha's individual websites and to our blogs and lots of things. We'd love for you to join us on Facebook. It's Psychic Teachers on Facebook, and there's no space. It's just Psychic Teachers. We do this show. We do workshops. We do telecourses. Our telecourse this week on numerology was wonderful. We got lots of nice feedback from that. Thank you to all of the folks who attended that. We have another telecourse that we're actually redoing because folks ask us to switch the night on it. It's on Wednesday the 26th, Samantha, is that right?
Correct.
And that's on developing your psychic ability. It's called Discover the Psychic in You, and we'd love to have you join us with that. So lots of different ways that you can connect with us as the Psychic Teachers. We are honored tonight to have as our guest Dave Schrader from Darkness on the Edge of Town on Darkness Radio, one of the longest-running and best-loved paranormal shows on the air, and we're happy you're with us, Dave. Tell folks a little bit about you and how they can find you, please.
Sure. We're on Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. till midnight Central Time. That's 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can find us by going to darknessradio.com and listen to us live right off of our web feed. We are a show based in Minneapolis-St. Paul on 100.3 FM. That's KTLK. And you can check our website and our archives on KTLKFM.com and click on the Darkness Radio podcast link. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on iTunes. We're also on a great organization called Stitcher. And if you go to darknessradio.com and go on the front page, scroll down to the bottom, you'll see the link to Stitcher, and you can actually download it. It's an application, a free application for your cell phone, so you can listen to our shows the day after they air, and I think they run it continuously throughout the day. So just an opportunity for you to find us that way. We also do live events all over the United States with our friends, the Ghost Adventures crew and other celebrities, and you can find out more information about that by going to darknessevents.com. Again, that's darknessevents.com.
Wonderful. We have a lot of comments in the chat room asking you to talk more about ghost issues. And one, Edward had said that a ghost in his house was active a year ago, braiding rugs and doing different things, and now no longer is. Does that mean the ghost is gone? What are your thoughts on that?
It was doing what with rugs?
Braiding the fringe.
Braiding the fringe. Well, geez, first of all, it's nice to have a home interior ghost, I guess, right? the carpet is fabulous, but we need to braid the ends. It just doesn't look right. I would guess that, yeah, maybe it moved on if it really didn't have any other reason to be there. It sounds like it was certainly bored if it was just sitting there braiding your rugs. I don't know. I would guess that that's the case. It just moved on and found another place to go, or maybe it you know, found its way home and friends or relatives came down for him. So I'm not real sure.
That reminds me of Marianne Winkowski, who says that ghosts kind of follow us home all the time.
Uh-huh.
You've had her on your show a couple of times. I just found her amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, she was, you know, she's very interesting in the fact that she doesn't claim to be a psychic or a sensitive. But if you call her from your house and you have a ghost, she suddenly can see inside your house. So she said a lot of people will actually wait to call her until they've cleaned the house so they're not embarrassed by what she can see in there. But she said she can see the ghosts in her house that way. And, you know, I was very curious. So the very first time we put her on our show back in 2006, I actually lined up people I knew to be the people that she had to talk to. So I knew if they were being hoodwinked by this woman or she was, you know, convincing them that they were having these experiences. And she was so spot on. It was unbelievable. Very, very fun. And she's great, you know. And she does say that there are some things that contain energy, you know. She told the one lady, she goes, you have a small dog. And she goes, yeah. And she goes, that dog will jump up and scream and run. And she goes, yeah, all the time. She goes, well, that's the male ghost you have. He does not like your dog. And he kicks it. And they're all like, oh, my God, that's horrible. But she goes, yeah, that's what's going on. And they said, well, how did we get this ghost? And she goes, all right. She goes, I'm trailing him back, and I see that you have a piece of equipment in your garage. It looks like an old snowblower or a push lawnmower that you bought. And I'm guessing you bought it secondhand at a garage sale or an estate sale within the last year. And the lady's like, yeah, we did. We bought a lawnmower. She goes, well, he's attached to that. Which depressed the hell out of me, because if I'm dead, there's
yeah.
no way I'm hanging out with my lawnmower. But you know, I guess it was important to him, and that's where he stayed. So they had that experience, and she goes out and then helps people to, you know, clear the spirits. And, you know, you do pay her because of her time and efforts to go on out to your house, wherever it is across the United States. But she does a very good service for a lot of people. You know, she's one of the few, I believe, that really have an amazing skill and talent.
I do, too. Her book is When Ghosts Speak, for anyone who's interested. I hope you have her on your show again, because she was just – I remember one caller said he thought he had a ghost, and I remember she said, were you in Hawaii in 1996? And he said, yeah. And she said, yep, you brought home a little Hawaiian girl.
Right, yeah, and he was totally blown away by it. And she
was
so in-depth on it. That's what's so crazy. Yeah, she's certainly an amazing woman, and you could find out information on her by going to maryannwinkowski.com. It's maryannwinkowski.com, or you can check the Darkness Radio archives and go to ktlkfm.com and check our podcast links there for one of our old shows, or go to darknessradio.com, click on the archives there, and you'll find the first show we did with her. She was on like twice a year while the Ghost Whisperer TV series was on.
Yeah, please, everyone go listen to it. It's great. Now, you also did a fascinating couple of radio shows on the Amityville Horror case that I just wanted to get your opinion on, because you had Joel Martin on, who originally was a skeptic of the case.
Right.
And then you had Lorraine Warren on, who worked on the case. So if any of you are listening, check out those archives, too. That was fairly recently.
Yeah, those were, and they were great shows, both of them.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we actually talked to Tim Yancey from Encounters Radio about the Amityville Horror case as well. And, you know, I've tried not to do too much on it because I think it's a beaten horse.
Sure.
You know, something certainly weird happened. Especially with the DeFeo family and the murders that took place at close range. He killed his entire family using a high-powered rifle, and nobody heard it. Nobody woke up in the house. And, you know, it's very strange to me how it all went down. I think there has to be something supernatural about that. I do believe George Lutz believed that it was haunted, and his wife believed it. You know, they agree that a lot of the story got blown up by Jay Anson, the author, and Hollywood certainly changed their version of the story repeatedly in all the different variations of the Amityville Horror movies that have been out. So, you know, I think George Lutz died with a lawsuit suing the production that Ryan Reynolds did in the remake of it, because he didn't like that they portrayed him killing his dog with an axe at one point. George wasn't that kind of man, so he was very upset with the way they presented him and used his name. So, you know, I think that there was something going on there, but as investigators, I'm sure that you can imagine that if you have a dysfunctional family, which nowadays who doesn't, right? If you have a dysfunctional family and there's high levels of alcoholism or drug abuse and things like that going on, you may be open to a lot more of what's going on. I find it kind of interesting that families that have lived in the house since don't claim to have any kind of phenomena. Maybe it did what it needed to do and it moved on. Maybe it stuck to George and Kathy Lutz and that's what caused them to waste away through the rest of their life. I'm not sure. You know, it's definitely an interesting case, and it's one that brought the paranormal kind of out of the closet again in the 70s for people. And it certainly captured the attention and imagination of the world. So, you know, kudos to them. I just always get a kick out of people that go and buy the house and then complain that people are outside taking pictures. You bought one of the most famous houses on the planet.
I know.
And you're going to complain? You know, what did you expect, you know? I don't know. Personally,
my grandmother lived not too far from there, and I can remember in the 80s and 90s, we would just drive by just for kicks, you know. Everybody knew where that house was.
Right.
Well, let's talk about the dreaded D word for a minute, Deb. I know you hate this word.
Okay, all right, you know, okay.
But since you've interviewed Lorraine Warren, and you're good friends with John Zaffis, correct?
Yeah.
What's your take on the whole demon world? Do you believe in them?
I think that there are definitely dark forces at work in the world. I am worried because a lot of people are dabbling in things that they shouldn't, and a lot of people think it's cool and that paranormal investigating is not tough enough. They want to be demonologists, and just because they've read The Exorcist and every book on demons they could get their hands on, they now claim to be demonologists, and to me that's a frightening aspect. Because I think they're stepping into a field where if you are not called to be a representative to deal with that field, I think you're opening up a whole can of whoop-ass that you're not ready for. And I think there's a lot of goofballs that think it's the extreme sport of the paranormal. So I'm very cautious, and I always tell people that when they tell me they want to study to be the demonologist of the group, I tell them, you know, you really need to talk to somebody like an Adam Bly or John Zaffis or Lorraine Warren and really kind of talk to them about what goes on, because you got to understand it doesn't just affect you, it affects your family. Because even if you're protected, if you don't think about it and you don't protect your family, the darkness can mess with your family and friends. Most real demonologists and religious demonologists don't even have pets. Because they don't want evil to influence the animals or family members. You know, so to me, that's kind of a frightening thought. I don't think there's a demon in everybody's house like it appears on TV and in the movies. I think people need to calm down a little bit before they overreact and, oh, my hair got tugged. It had to be something evil. Maybe that was the only way that the spirit could get your attention. You know, I mean, there's a difference between kind of tugging your hair and grabbing you by the back of the scalp and dragging you across the floor, like, you know, the movie Paranormal Activity. You know,
right.
if something's dragging you by your ankles out the hallway, yeah, maybe you're dealing with something malevolent. You get a little tug on your shirt or on your hair. I don't think you're necessarily dealing with Satan, you know.
Right.
I think people overreact. You know, I get a kick out of this whole 3 o'clock thing, and that 3 o'clock in the morning means it's the witching hour. And I always ask, well, how do ghosts know, especially if there's a time change and we have, you know, daylight savings time take over, how do they know to switch their clocks to go an hour ahead? And if time means nothing to the spirit world, what is 3 a.m. to them? So I don't get that. And then the whole thing, my favorite one is this, right? If it knocks in threes, then it's something.
Oh, yeah,
evil.
I've heard that.
But now I want you all the listeners and you too, to think about it right now. When you go up to somebody's door, I want you to knock on the table in front of me, on the table in front of you. How many times do you knock?
3 times.
Sure.
Yeah, almost everybody does the old, right?
Right, exactly.
You knock 3 times on the ceiling if you want me, right? That's what you do.
Yep.
That's just the way it is. There's nothing, you know, we either do that or we either do the dun, 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 right? Everybody does that. I don't think it's evil. It may be irritating, but not evil. So I just think people need to take it down a peg. And here's the deal. If you start panicking and feeling that and that intent changes, suddenly I think that can draw negativity towards you. Because like an animal, it can smell your fear, and that's what this dark lives off of. It loves to frighten you, and it loves to irritate you, and it loves to mess up your life. So I think that if you start being frightened of every mouse fart and thinking it's evil, then that's when you start running into real trouble.
And I think that if you
concentrate and focus on the dark side and that negative and evil influence, then, you know, like attracts light. You begin to attract it into your energy field. Samantha, mm-hmm. Lass, I'm, of the two of us, I tend to be the more didactic one when we work together or when I do readings, and yet I am also the Pollyanna. I put my fingers in my ear and say, no, don't even say that word in front of me, because I'm not chancing having that kind of negativity around me. I'm just not going there. And so when
right.
I'm like you, when I hear somebody who says, oh, I'm interested in that side of this, I say, oh, well, this conversation's over. I'm done.
Be careful, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going there.
What's your favorite paranormal tool to use when you do go on investigations? Do you like the Frank's box? Do you like the digital dowsing? What do you choose to use?
You know, I've used a lot of different things, and I like to do EVP because I'm the MTV generation guy. You know, I want it now. And I want to hear if I'm being spoken to right now. So I like that, and I like using the Shack Hack, my spirit box. I get really interesting responses, and I do feel that we've made communication with something. Now, here's the deal. I don't know that that something is necessarily paranormal. I know that we have a lot more ability than we use. And I think it's been proven that collective consciousness can alter and change things. You know what happened on 9/11 with the, now I'm losing my mind on what that experiment is they do, but they have those random number generators all over the world, and they all came together at one point for the 9/11 and at Michael Jackson's
death.
Right,
I remember reading about that.
At some of these other things, so the collective consciousness can affect things. So if you have 20 people standing around a radio wanting to hear an answer, and it suddenly comes through on the radio or even on your EVP, are we impressing upon that piece of equipment our energy responding back to ourselves, or are we really talking to somebody who's dead or trying to communicate back with us? I don't know. I think what's really an interesting thing to consider for investigators, a lot of people that use the different tools, Ouija boards, the Frank's boxes, the Shack Hacks, the obelisk, the paranormal puck, they all get one thing that it seems to be in common is it asks for Seth, or it says the name Seth. Now, there's a very famous...
Seth Speaks.
Right, Seth Speaks, which was this woman's contact to some greater energy that would download information to her, basically, and give her, you know, very much like the secret kind of stuff. And I think that's pretty interesting that all of these things keep asking for Seth, or is it Seth trying to come through to us? Or something else to consider, Seth Shostak is the one that runs SETI, the Search for Intelligent Life, and they send
mm-hmm.
radio signals out into space trying to communicate with other, and they listen. Well, what if he's got that cone pointed in the wrong direction? What if it's not out there, it's just right here over a little bit? And what if
mm-hmm.
they're responding to Seth, and he's
well,
just
now
not
I
tuned
need more
into
tweaking.
The right area? Yeah, so.
So I love it.
Yeah.
I love the way you bend our minds. Can you share with us, what's the scariest thing that's happened to you on an investigation? Or have you been scared?
When I go to a location, I'm going in expecting to have an experience, but I'm going there looking for things. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if I'm at home and all of a sudden I turn around the corner and there's this old woman floating down the hallway, I will probably have to change my pants. But, that's because I'm not expecting it here in my house. When I go out to these locations, I see things and I've had experiences and heard things, and I'm not frightened. I'm intrigued by them, and I'm excited by them. It doesn't mean that there isn't a pause once in a while I make going, should I be doing this? But I haven't been really frightened. I had a great experience with a shadow person, full-on shadow person, walk right into me at Waverly Hills. And then as I turned around, I watched it dissipate into the darkness. That was phenomenal. You know, I've every time I go to the Queen Mary, I will hear somebody say, Dave, and I turn around and there's nobody behind me. It's like they know my name there. And, you know, we've been there so many times. Why not? You know, I'm responsible for bringing these people to them all the time. So that's pretty cool. I still say, and this I've mentioned this on the show before and on other interviews, but the thing that freaked me out the most was as a kid, I had about 14, 15 years old, I was walking to my friend's house, and I was passing by a house in Medina, Illinois, and it was just an old ranch-style house, nothing spooky about it. And there was a gentleman standing inside the picture window with his arms folded behind him, looking out the window. And, you know, this was the late 70s, very early 80s, so, you know, that's what we used to do before we had cable and 900 channels, right? We used to look out our windows and know our neighbors.
Right.
So I didn't think too much of it until I turned back about 3 seconds later and realized he was now outside, which means he had gone through the window, come across the sidewalk, walking over the row of hedges in front of the sidewalk in order to be there. And I looked, and it took my brain a few seconds to process, and I thought, oh, crap, how did he do that? And then I turned, and now he's in the middle of the yard. But he's not running or walking. He's just there. And I start to pick up speed, and I turn around, and then he's about 5 feet away from me on the corner of his yard. And I took off like a bat out of hell. Now, I'm 43 years old, and when I go to visit my parents, I will take the long way not to have to drive by that house still. I don't know why. It wasn't like he was bloody or chasing me through the yard like a zombie.
Sure.
But when I saw the movie The Ring and the way that little girl kind of moved and she just jumped and she was like there, that's how that was. So that has always unnerved the hell out of me growing up. And, I've always wanted to go and ask the family that lives there now if they've ever had any experiences. But, you know, again, that's kind of a touchy situation.
Wow. That sounds pretty spooky. I mean,
yeah.
And you're a big guy, but, I mean, that would spook me out, too.
Yeah, it was
bizarre,
definitely.
But that didn't deter you from this path. I'm sorry.
No, you know, that's what encourages me. You know, I know you guys asked me in one of the emails, you said, Dave, with all the experiences you've had and all the messages you've had, how can you still be afraid of death?
Yeah.
And you guys know as well as I do that we all choose our life path before we come here, right? And
yep.
Maybe my path is to never find that answer so that I can keep trying to teach and learn along with the listeners and find another way to re-look at things and open up ideas and open up conversation. And maybe my job isn't to find the answer. My job is not so much in, well, what's the old saying? It's not in getting there. It's in the trip. And it's
right.
In the experience of the travel. And maybe that's my position is I'm never supposed to get over this fear. It's supposed to continue to drive me until it's my time. And I've had
Is it really a fear you have or just a curiosity?
No, it's a fear. I used to be a child, and I couldn't sleep at night for fear of not waking up in the morning. I have a religious background and belief, and I do believe in God and Jesus, but I still at the age of 43 am afraid to go to bed sometimes because I'm not sure what'll happen. And I don't want to just rot in a coffin. I don't want to just not exist anymore. I don't want to not be around my children. My goal is to outlive all of my children, and not because they passed away at an early age, but because I'm 140 and everybody that I knew and loved
Uh-oh.
Is gone. And
Dave, we're
go.
Losing you. Are you on a cell phone?
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
nope.
I can hear you. It's just a little scratchy.
Oh, sorry about that. The spirits are interfering.
I know.
I wonder.
Yeah. So, and I don't
well,
know.
It is a great unknown death. I mean,
yeah.
It can be a very fearful thing. I think that's understandable. I just always find it fascinating to hear you talk about your fear of death when you've had great experiences, you've had wonderful contact with your deceased loved ones. And so I think it's neat that you've framed that in that it's your purpose to seek so that you can bring other people along on that journey.
Yeah, and that's where I stick to, you know. I mean, I don't know where this journey is going to lead, but I sure enjoy it, and I enjoy the people that I meet and the friends that I've made and the interesting communication I have with people like you and the people that attend our events and the people that listen to my show and watch the other shows and read my book. You know, I love – a show is never more fulfilling for me than when I get done and within the next week I get emails from people saying, you really made me rethink that. You really gave me a feeling of hope and sense of learning something new that, you know, or I've always felt alienated and alone, and now I realize other people have had these experiences too. And that to me is – that keeps me driving and loving this position of doing the radio. And I think that's why I've lucked out and keep – finding the right places to bring the show and make it bigger.
And you are doing that. Now, we only have about 5 minutes left, so we wanted to bring in a different aspect besides Ghost, which is your talk and your discussions with UFOs.
Sure.
You've had a lot of fascinating people on your show about UFOs. Where do you stand on those little green men?
Well, I do hear
they're
my phone kind of
they're pink.
I'm kind of cutting in and out, and I don't know if you guys can hear that. Is there another – is what's your number that I can call into, and I'll call from my cell phone. I'm on my home phone number right now.
Okay, it's 646-200-3740.
3740. Okay, I'll call you from the other phone so that we have a better connection here.
Okay, thank
Excellent.
You.
Good, thanks. Folks, you are listening to Psychic Teachers. I am Deb Bowen.
And I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are honored that you are with us tonight with our amazing host, our amazing guest, who is a host, Dave Schrader, who is host of Darkness at the Edge of Town Radio on darknessradio.com, one of America's longest-running and most-loved paranormal shows, and we are just thrilled to have Dave with us tonight. He has been talking about all sorts of fascinating things, and I think, Samantha, while we're waiting for Dave to call back into us, how much I just love his whole notion of hope, which is, of course, one of the things that we try to do, so it's so nice to talk to kindred spirits.
Let me see if this is him.
Okay, try it and see.
Hold on now, let me click it. Dave, is that you? Dave? Nope,
not Dave. Oh, no. I hope we really haven't lost him.
I know, me too.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to get his view on UFOs because he has talked with Travis Walton of, the famous abduction story. I wanted to hear what he had to say about that. Let me see. I'm not seeing him calling in. I wonder if you called in from a different line and it's got a different area code, because we do have callers. Let's see.
Try that third one again. That might be him again. Sorry,
Dave,
folks.
Are you there?
No, this is not Dave. Sorry, I'm just listening.
Okay. Oh,
okay,
that's okay.
Sorry
about that.
Thank you for being with
us. That's okay.
Well, I did give him the right number, Deb. We are
I know you did. I know
Dave.
You did.
Let me make sure. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, this is me.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay, got you back. All right, let's talk about UFOs in the few minutes we have remaining.
Okay, sure.
So you've had Travis Walton on, and I found that an interesting interview. Do you believe in alien abductions?
I think, I don't know if we're being abducted. I guess why not? I mean, the universe just seems too vast for me to believe that God only created one planet with life that could be intelligent. So, I would guess that there's something going on out there, and I'm excited to meet Travis. He's going to be at an event in Gettysburg this March called Phenomenology 103. And I think, if you could type in Phenomenology 103 or contact me through dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll send you a link to buy tickets to the event. It's very inexpensive, but it's a great event, and they have a lot of fantastic speakers there. Travis is an amazing story. He was Fire in the Sky is the name of the movie that starred D.B. Sweeney, and he has a book by that title, and you can look him up on Amazon. He's got an updated version of the book. But just an amazing guy, and what a story. So unbelievable. But, I certainly do believe that that UFOs exist and that there's life on other planets.
Yeah,
I do, too. I absolutely agree with you. I could not believe in a God who could only make us it. We just can't be all there is. Absolutely. I agree with you.
What about the blackbirds on New Year's Day? Do you think that's connected?
You know what
all
I think is interesting?
Birds falling out of the sky?
Well, and then they mentioned that there's that they've been able to make it rain in the desert and that they've created a way to particly charge the sky and the air. Well, if they're doing that and they're creating false rain, and now look at, they're messing with things like that, and now all of the United States is dealing with weather that we haven't had. I mean, this is the snowiest winter in history in Minnesota since the 1800s when they began keeping records. I have friends in Florida who are telling me they're going down to the 20s and 30s at night. People are calling it global warming, but I think it's interesting that all these strange things are happening while people are experimenting with messing with the weather. And suddenly we have birds dying and fish and crab coming up. Well, if we're putting poisoned water into the ocean and the seas and the lakes, is that affecting it because of whatever chemicals we're lacing the clouds with to make them rain? I don't know if we're meant to play God quite yet.
I don't think so either. And, Dave, we are out of time. Gosh, I am so sorry. Can we have you back again another time?
Yeah, anytime, ladies. I'd love to, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you, folks, for listening. We are the Psychic Teachers. Our guest has been Dave Schrader of Darkness Radio. You can find him on darknessradio.com. Thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you. We hope you guys have a great week. Listen to us next week. We will be having another lively discussion on crystals. And the week after that, we have best-selling author Linda Howe of the Akashic Records. Hope you all have a wonderful week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
With free next day delivery from Staples, you can run your business like a pro. You can guarantee the marketing department that they'll get their supplies tomorrow, and guarantee the accounting department that they'll be delivered free. With free next day delivery, you'll have the ability to move deadlines up and adjust budgets down. Go to staples.com and get the office essentials you need delivered next day for free. Staples. It's pro time. Orders over $49.99. Place by 5 p.m. Excludes weekends and holidays. Eligible items only.
Over 100 years ago, Boar's Head opened its doors with a different set of rules. No cutting corners, no compromises. Exceptional Boar's Head products began to appear. Our deluxe ham, oven gold turkey, and ever roast chicken, made to standards rarely found in the deli business today. Of course, Boar's Head isn't sold everywhere, only in stores that share our high standards and slice our products fresh at the deli. Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.